Hey, this is James from SurvivalPunk.com. Welcome to another great episode. Episode 1 something. Hold on. Not episode 1. If you're listening to episode 1, I'm sorry. That's the worst episode ever. 142. Episode 142. And we're going to talk about the most common disaster that affects most people. Job loss. Don't be like Brad's wife. Don't get fired. Well, you really can't help it. And I know a lot of people think that their job is solid and set and they can never lose their job because their job is the most important and they're the best at it and no one can do their job as good as them. And then you get fired. You know, today's show is going to be on that. The number one disaster that hits more people than anything else. More people lose their jobs than are affected by a tornado. You know, I don't know the numbers and statistics are all made up anyway. You know, thousands of people a day lose their job, I'm sure. So it makes sense. It behooves you. I like that word, by the way. It behooves you to be prepared for job loss when that is the most likely disaster to occur to you and your family. And, yeah, in a funny way, I came across this show topic with the internet now is all about this Brad's wife and Cracker Barrel thing. If you haven't heard, this guy, Brad, his wife was fired from Cracker Barrel after 11 years. He doesn't know why, which doesn't make sense to me. Like, how your wife came home and was like, I was fired today. Why? I don't know. Okay, that's kind of odd. You should probably know. But he went to the Cracker Barrel's Facebook page and was like, my wife was fired after 11 years today. I want to know why. And the internet has taken the crusade to find out why and to basically bash Cracker Barrel every chance they get. Like, I even saw a Donald Trump tweet that was, I'm going to get to the bottom of this, you know, justice for Brad's wife. You know, I find this to be way more amusing than any of the shit that happened in 2016, the Cecil the Lion or the Harambe killing. You know, people are getting all up in arms for some lady getting fired, but not really. Like, it's all pretend and fun, but the nugget in this whole situation is, after 11 years, she got fired and somehow doesn't even know why. That can happen to a lot of people. If you think you've been with someone been with a company for a long time and you do not have to worry about getting fired, I know there are some people that listen to this show that have had that issue. You know, it could happen to anyone at any time for any reason. It could be your fault, could not be your fault, could, you know, the economy takes a downturn. There is a Texas Walmart store that has not a single cashier in it. Not a cashier. It's all automated. That's the future. This is a testing ground, and they've made it far enough into the testing process to open an entire store that way. Not run a register or two self-check-wise. Not do little experiments here and there. They opened a store with it, a prototype store. So that spells the end for that cashier. And, you know, if you just think about it, do you have any idea how many cashiers are employed in the United States alone? I would wager millions. There are millions of cashiers. There are thousands and thousands of Walmarts, and there are probably, contrary to popular belief, there are more than two cashiers per store. So that is a lot of them. And, you know, within the next 20 years, there will not be any of them, I'm sure. And 20 years is on the outside. I would bet on it being shorter, but You know, and that's just one. That's just one job that's being eliminated from the economy. Your job is probably gonna be like, are you crucial? Are you literally like holding up the sky? And if you quit your job, the apocalypse happens. No, it's not. So being prepared for that eventual job loss is the most important thing to be prepped for. When new people are asking about it, and sometimes, you know, being a prepper, they want to come at you and get you to say something crazy because they're used to that. They're used to doomsday preppers and they're used to the other shit where, yeah, the producers put them people to be complete lunatics. I explain, you know, it's good to have a little cash savings. You know, it's good to have some stockpile, you know, some food stored of the stuff that you eat anyway. And if you lose your job, you don't have to worry about buying food for a little while. So that's one less thing you have to worry about. I explain it this way, and then people, they click, and they're like, oh, that actually makes sense. That's not crazy. I like that. So yeah, let's dig into the topic of job loss. Like we've talked about, it is the number one disaster that affects people. Not zombies, not meteors, not dinosaurs, job loss. Number one. When we prep, we have to plan for the likelihood of events to occur. If you are like Matt from Oklahoma and you live in Oklahoma and that is Tornado Alley, tornado preps should be a part of your planning. You should have a place to go in a tornado. You should have redundancy. Like, say that, you know, if all of your food preps, Matt, I hope you're listening to this, are in your kitchen and your house is tornadoed and you are in a safe place and you and your family are fine, but your preps in your kitchen are now thrown across the state, that doesn't really help you any. Can't have all your chickens in one basket there. So, in that case, if I lived in Tornado Alley, I would do everything I could to get a storm shelter and put some food in it. Even if that's digging a trench and bolting some, you know, plywood on top of it, just to have a little shelter down there. Not that hard. Something. So yeah, you gotta base your preps on the likelihood of the disaster. Job loss pretty much needs to go up there. I was thinking when planning this show that car troubles should probably be on everyone's list. I have lost jobs in my life a few times, probably, I don't know, two or three twice, probably twice or so, something like that. Twice, yeah. Now that I think about it, I'm pretty sure it was twice. Something like that. Two or three times. Anyway, I've lost jobs. I've had cars break down at least that many times, if not more. So both of those need to be in yours. When you lose your job, there's two main things that you have to worry about. You could basically break that down to one thing. But it's two things. It's having the money to take care of your essential needs, your bills that you have to pay to continue to live, and food. You could, if you just stockpiled a ton of money and not food, yes, you could buy food with your money. But it's, I mean, obviously, inflation-wise, it's going to be cheaper to buy food now that you eat later. Not oftentimes have I ever seen food go back. Some foods fluctuate. Like this week when I was looking to buy my bacon, because I go shopping somewhere around payday and I buy 3 pounds of bacon to last me for 2 weeks. And I'm brand specific. I like the right brand, 3 pound. It's a fairly thick cut bacon. It has a good flavor. The price tends to fluctuate, and I still have enough bacon to last me, you know, about a couple days, half a week or so. So I didn't buy it the other day because, like I said, the price fluctuates. And when I looked at it, it was $17 for the three pounds. I usually like to try to get it around the $12 to $14 range, you know, and pretty much monthly it'll jump up and down. So I'll just wait until the price drops or when I finally have to. And if I had enough freezer space, I would buy extra when it was on a $12 low. So yeah, you have to have money to pay your bills. 3 months of essential bills, and by that I mean rent and electricity and, you know, car insurance, which is legally mandated, and anything else you legally have to pay. So we'll just jump on to separate your essentials from your nice to haves and your wants. When you lose a job, you can't, unless you've bankrolled fat money, you can't continue to buy the frivolous things that you normally do. Going to Starbucks every day, gone, it's not going to happen. Netflix, probably going to be canceled, you know. All of those monthly just luxury items, you're going to put them on hold for a little while. You're going to have to tighten up and just go by what you need. If you have a home business, then maybe you do keep the internet. And we'll talk about side businesses in a bit. Maybe you don't, and maybe you keep your cell phone on so you can talk to job interviews, and you've got internet on that, so you just use that, you know, and you cancel the home internet for a few months. You put it on pause or whatever you have to do. You know, you got to have a shelter, and you got to have electricity to do things with, you know, to wash, to bathe. You need to have water, hot water, preferably. You know, you got to have those essentials that you have to have. You know, like I said, you probably got to pay your car insurance. If you have a car note, then you got to have that money set aside, which is why not being in debt is better, and we'll talk about that later. So yeah, you got to have all that, and the more of those that you have to keep paying, like, you know, maybe you have two cars, and maybe you send one back, maybe you sell one instead of paying, you know, continuing to pay the bills on it when you don't have that money. You got to look at all of those, the money going out. And you got to cut to the bone to get rid of stuff that you really don't need. You know, when you had the money, it was nice. But now your first priority is to cut all of your bills before you go job searching. Like, you need to, and I've done it before, and I've blogged about it. You know, you can call up a lot of people, and then you can basically grab them by the short and curlies and yell at them until they'll drop your bills. I've got a satellite to drop my bill ridiculously low one time, just by continuing threatening to leave. I got my insurance company to do the same thing. I got them to drop me by quite a bit of money. You know, it doesn't always work. Sometimes you do have to move to different companies, and you'll get a better deal that way. I believe we've got a two-part episode or so on being thrifty, which is worth a checkout, especially if you're trying to cut money like that. You know, like we said, rent, mortgage, electricity, essential. Netflix, gym membership, not so essential. Cut all of those. You know, and then you've got your money that you have saved, your cash and your savings that you have saved will go a lot further and longer for paying those essential bills while you're out of a job. Next is the food. Hopefully I'm not going too short here. I mean, this may be a short episode without Couch Potato Mike to derail me and make jokes and stuff. But I think you'll get a good edumacation off of this episode, my friends. Maybe not as many laughs as usual, but I will try to entertain you. And I'm recording it the morning it goes out, so obviously the shorter it goes, the easier it is for me to get it up and get to sleep, because I work nights. I'm derailing myself. Awesome. yeah. So yeah, the next thing we're going to talk about is food storage. Having that food stored removes that from your worries about having the money. And when you have the money set aside to pay rent and you have food to eat, those are your two concerns as your head of household. I know a lot of you are fathers, or at least you have children, you have families, you provide for them. Your two jobs are food and shelter. Gotta keep a roof over their heads, food on the table. Besides that, you know, making sure your sons aren't dick bags and making sure your daughters don't grow up to be porn stars, that's your job as a father. That's it. Oh my God, yes. So having that stored food takes away that whole worry of gotta have food on the table, you know. Maybe it's not the best food. Maybe it's not your kids' favorite food. But keeping them from starving to death and dying, which, by the way, for your picky eaters, takes about 27 days. Just saying. A couple skipped meals won't kill them. And it'll be the best thing. I'm pretty sure every kid in my generation would be like, oh, I'm not eating those Brussels sprouts. And your mom would be like, well, you gotta eat them. And we'd complain, we'd go hungry, and then we'd eat the fucking Brussels sprouts. I mean, and I like Brussels sprouts now, but, you know, my mom got the frozen, like, brick of block of it. I would boil it to death and just taste like disgusting mush. Sorry, Mom. Not your best thing you made there. Same thing with, like, the cream broccoli and some other bullshit. I guess we had a weird message. I don't know what that means. But yeah. Having that food takes that off. And you got to think, those are your two worries. Your two worries when you lose your job. Where am I going to live? How am I going to pay my bills? You know, how am I going to pay my bills and keep having a place to live? And what am I going to eat? Those are taken care of. Now we get to the next problem. You're jobless. Depending on how much money you have saved and how much passive income sources you have, this may be a nice vacation. When I left my management job, built my tiny house, and was just working on the website, you know, I was making enough, because at that point I was debt-free. And I had food storage, so I didn't work for 6 months. I was retired, besides putting in the work on Survival Punk and building my house and relaxing. It was good times. Excuse me, guys. So yeah, maybe this is a time to not stress. And that's the best part about being a prepper. You know, you lose your job. And instead of pulling out your hair and stressing and yelling at your wife and your kids because you're stressed to the balls and you can't think straight because you don't know what you're gonna do about where they're gonna live or how they're gonna eat, you know, instead maybe you take a short day trip, you go to the park or something, you know, spend time with your family, you don't freak out, you're like, you thank your boss, thanks, I'm gonna take some time off, I needed this, guys. You know, and you spend time with your family, which I know a lot of people will complain that they don't get to spend enough time with their family, but then they don't actually spend time with their family when they have time to spend on them because they're so stressed and crazy from work. They just want to like unwind when they get home. So they don't end up spending that quality time with their family as much. So maybe you use this as a blessing. Then you get busy. you start hitting the road, you start job searching, and not necessarily, like, hopefully if you're listening to the show, you're not going to be one of those douchebags that ride unemployment for like 99 weeks. Ugh. Don't like that at all. And you get out there and you start looking for a job, and you want to make money. I mean, maybe you right off the bat can't find like a job equivalently paying what you were, but having just read an article about people that they stay in the jobs more than 2 years, they make less money. Moving around, you probably could find a better paying job. Because a lot of companies are always like increasing their starting pay and stuff. So the longer you stay in a company, you kind of get stagnated, and the new people end up making as much as you to incentivize even starting. So yeah, you're probably better off moving around anyway. But, you know, if you are like a top level CEO, and if you were, then you probably won't have trouble finding a good job if you were a good CEO. If not, you need to look into that. So yeah, by that, I mean, I don't necessarily mean you need to turn down every job. Like I find it more important to work and find a job and have an income as opposed to, you know, just rotting unemployment and trying to find the best job possible. Although, when interviewing, you'll be less stressed knowing that you have your bills covered for. So you can negotiate better because you know you're not starving to death. You won't take the first offer. You can find a better job, but I'm not encouraging you to lay about. And I don't think that anyone that listens is going to do that. That's not my point. So I just want to distinguish that, yes, when you are a prepper and you've prepared, then job searching is not as stressful, and you can make better decisions to get the best thing for you, but not be a snob and refuse to do jobs. So find what you like doing. I mean, at this point, you can get paid for doing a job just as well as you can get paid for doing a job you hate. I mean, you can get paid to do what you like or get paid to do what you hate. Why would you do that? I mean, so, you know, at this point, I more or less like stocking. That's why I do that job. I can go find something else, but the schedule works fairly well, and I get to enjoy what I do, and I get to see my girlfriend because the schedule that I have allows me to do that. So, you know, I'm happy with it. If something changed, then yes, I would look for another job, as well you should if you're not happy with your job, and not wait until it like hits that level of hate so much you're like, okay, now I'll go look for it. Like, you know, it's like, I really don't like this. So I'm going to find something else, and you'll probably make more money. You know, I know some people are in the company so long, like, they're so vested that finding another job that does pay that much can be hard. But a lot of times you can use that as a negotiating tool. You know, you can use your experience to negotiate a higher starting pay anyway. Instead of going through the normal application process, when you're interviewing, you can negotiate. And if they say no, then you just keep looking anyway. Just saying, I'd always have a resume out. I do always have a resume out, you know, and always check my offer. So that's it. Like I said, it removes your desperation. Another thing that removes your desperation and makes life so much easier is being debt free. Like I said, optimal would be to have 3 months of cash to pay your bills. All of your living bills. So you just, whatever you spend in a month on your bills that are essential, rent, mortgage, electricity, whatever we talked about earlier, having all of that for 3 months is the minimum, not the optimal, the minimum, like recommended. That's 3 months that you don't have to worry about paying bills, which if you work hard, you can find a job in 3 months, start getting some paychecks, and get back on your feet. I've never gone that long without a job since I've started working. I've had a job usually within a few days. Not to brag, just saying, my job was putting in applications and getting a job. So I got a job. That's what it is when you don't have a job. That's my job. Being debt free makes that easier. How easy is it to pay your bills if you don't have a car note and you don't have a mortgage or rent, like me in my tiny house? How easy it is to stockpile that much money? So much easier. So much easier. Some of you are thinking, you pay like $1,500 a month in just your rent, and you've got, a $300 a month electric bill and all this other stuff. And you can do a lot of stuff to cut that $300 a month electric bill, my friends. You got all this and you're like, whoa, trying to get that much money saved for 3 months, that's a massive undertaking. Well, maybe you need to work more, at least for a little bit, get a part-time second job or something to get that cash there stockpiled, or cut your expenses, or, like I said, get debt-free. That removes that. If you're paying a $400 a month car note and a $1,500 a month, mortgage note and all these other things, it's kind of hard to save that money. It really is. I just have things like utilities. I've got my car insurance. I've got my electricity and stuff like that. So for me, it's a lot easier. And for a lot of you that have worked really hard and got out of debt, it's not that bad for you either. So yeah, the number one thing is being debt-free. And at that point, like I said, when you get fired, instead of having it be the world-crushing blow that destroys families, that breaks families apart, that tears a man's soul out because he can't provide for his family, it's almost a blessing. it's thank you. I enjoyed the opportunity to work here, and I hope you find someone that doesn't suck either. And you go find a job, and you don't do it in a stressed way. You relaxfully find a new job, and you play hardball in the interview process, You negotiate for better terms. And you just keep moving. Employers can see that. When they're hiring someone, they can tell a desperate person from someone that's not desperate. And that self-confidence is really like a selling point. They're going to much rather want to hire a confident person that brings something valuable to the table, as opposed to like someone that just needs a job because they're starving and they need to pay rent. That's a good motivation, but I've seen time and time again that the confident employee that has things together is a more productive employee, as opposed to the paycheck to paycheck, person that just, they don't care, So, there's a lot of good tips there for finding a job. You definitely want to go in confident and assured that you have the skills that they need, and they better pay for them. And if they don't, their competitor will, and then they'll pay for it by the loss of revenue. That's the way that is. And that is how you survive a job loss. I'm only at 30 minutes in. Maybe this episode could have used more jokes and more, maybe not a news segment. We killed those. That's my take on surviving a job loss, which, like we said, is the number one disaster to hit people. I hope you have enjoyed this short episode. I'm going to get it put up so you can listen to it, and then I'm going to go to sleep. DIY to not be Brad's wife, you guys.